Good morning. If we haven't gotten a chance to meet yet, my name is Lex Moore, and I am the student and discipleship pastor here at Fairfax Circle Church. If you are a visitor this morning, we are really glad that you're here. If you could do a favor for us, you can find a connection card in the seat back in front of you. Just fill that out with as much information as you feel comfortable with, and then you can put that in the collection box on your way out. That's just a way for us to put a name with a face and just be able to connect with you later and say how great it was to have you here. But I am not normally who speaks on Sunday mornings. That would be our lead pastor, David. But David is enjoying summer vacation with his family. And so, as always, I am excited and happy to be here this morning and get to speak to you, especially since my family came in to surprise me this morning. They drove all the way from Florida to be here to hear me speak, so maybe you'll get a chance to meet them as well. But this morning, I wanted to start out by talking about fragile things. And I figured, what better way to talk about fragile things than to just show you how fragile some stuff is. So, when I was thinking about fragile things, one of the first things I thought of was light bulbs. Because when I'm changing the light bulbs at home, and I have two light bulbs in my hand, I'm unscrewing one, my immediate thought is I'm going to drop one of these and it's going to shatter all over the floor. So, I brought a light bulb. Let's just see how fragile it is. Right. There you go. I did this last night. I did it without this. That happened also, and I thought, this is going to stop it. This is what happens when the lead pastor goes out of town. The student pastor breaks everything. So, you know what? It's all good. All right, let's move on. All right, so something else that is fragile are balloons. So, yeah, if you don't like loud noises, but there is a happy face, so. You know what? We're going to do another. There we go. All right, that's what I wanted. All right. And if you're selective about your produce, then you're going to understand this. So when I go grocery shopping, I like to get the fruits and vegetables that are not already bruised and abused. And so I take very good care of them as I walk around the store. I put them at the top of my cart. I make sure nothing is next to them except for bread is a little bit of cushioning. I want to go home with fruit that is not bruised. And yet when I get up to the checkout counter, they seem to think this is not produce, it's rocks. And so they start throwing my produce around. And so I've learned the hard way that produce is pretty fragile. And so, you know, produce gets pretty mushy. It bruises pretty easily. This is metaphorical of what I feel like they do at the checkout counter, whoever's bagging my produce. Yeah. So, yeah, there's that. All right, and then last but not least, what I think most people think of when they think of things that are fragile is they think of eggs, right? Eggs are super fragile. It doesn't take much for an egg to crack, and so I brought some eggs this morning. So let's see. Yeah, that's easy. I mean, it didn't even fly out of the bucket like the light bulb. So, you know, let's just do another one. Yeah, that one worked the best so far. All right. So these things are pretty fragile. But these are not the only fragile things in our life, right? A lot of us have fragile relationships as well. And fragile relationships, they're not a lot of fun. They can be kind of nerve-wracking, to be honest with you. They're nerve-wracking because, you know, with eggs or with a light bulb, they're pretty easily replaceable, right? They're really not that expensive. All you have to do is you go to the grocery store and you can pick up some eggs and light bulbs in 2 seconds for like a couple of bucks, right? But with relationships are a little bit harder to replace. Relationships are a little bit more valuable. I have a friend of mine that I have a fragile relationship with. He has a temper problem. He has a history of holding grudges. And so whenever I'm around this friend, I feel like I have to walk on eggshells. I'm afraid that he'll get defensive. I'm afraid that he'll blow up. And so I'm very careful around this fragile friendship. And so real relationships, they contain accountability, they contain genuineness, they contain communication. And yet when these things are discouraged in a relationship, you lose half of the relationship. You kind of cut away the meat of the relationship. You may share some experiences together. You may be able to talk about other people and things that are going on in life. But your true unfiltered thoughts, they have to remain a secret. They have to remain with yourself because you have to maintain the relationship. And a lot of you, or not a lot of you, some of you may feel like your relationship with God is this way. You feel like you have a fragile relationship with God. You think that God has a temper problem and that he holds grudges and that he's just kind of looking for an excuse to exercise his power over you. And so you walk on eggshells around God and you cut away the depth of the relationship. And so when you pray, you make sure that you pray as properly and as formally and as perfectly as possible so that God, you know, maybe he'll actually hear you and care about what you're saying and want to answer it instead of, you know, talking to God like your normal self. In other words, you tell God what you think he wants to hear and the way that you think he wants to hear it instead of, you know, sharing with him your actual thoughts and feelings. Or maybe you hear about God's plan or you hear about God's values and they don't make a lot of sense to you. But instead of keeping God accountable or going to God with your questions, instead you just kind of keep your curiosities to yourself. Or when it feels like life keeps screwing you over, and it feels like God is doing nothing about it, you suppress it, and you never let God know that you feel like he's forgotten about you. But this isn't the kind of relationship that we find in the Bible. We find God's people sharing with God unfiltered. When they're hurt, they tell God. When they feel like God hasn't kept up his end of the argument, they keep God accountable. When they are angry with God, they tell God that they are ticked off. Take Psalms 88, for example. If you go to Psalm 88, you'll find a prayer to God that essentially says this: God, I have been praying to you 24/7, and I am still calling to you for some relief because I am desperate. You're supposed to be taking care of me, and yet you're nowhere to be found. I'm in absolute pain, and apparently I'm also alone, so thanks for nothing. And that's where the psalm ends. There is no like positive ending. There's no wrap-up there that kind of leaves you with a good feeling. That's where the psalm ends. Feeling like God is far away or disinterested or even dead to you is a part of our Bible, and it can't be brushed aside. And that feeling, no matter how intense it may be, or even as offensive as it may seem, is never judged or shamed or criticized by God. Now, worshiping other gods and acting unjustly towards others, that's criticized about every three sentences in our Bible by God. But not these honest feelings, this honest talk of feeling abandoned by God. And let's not forget that our Gospels tell us that Jesus himself experienced the feelings of God's abandonment, and he uses a ready and waiting song to express his feelings. He says, my God, why have you forsaken me? And if Jesus is sharing with us in this expression and these feelings of abandonment, then I would say we're in pretty good company. Because faith is like this sometimes. That's why these emotions are preserved in the Bible instead of kept a secret. Expressions of abandonment are not godless moments. They signal not only what can happen in the life of faith, but also what does happen and what we should expect to happen. Because God offers us a sturdy and real relationship with him where we are allowed to express our emotions freely and ask hard questions. Our God is not fragile, and your relationship with God is not fragile. What can our God not handle? Has anyone ever found the bottom of God's grace? I'm not encouraging you to disrespect God. I'm also not trying to cause problems in your faith that are not there. But some of you already have problems in your faith, and you're not communicating with God about it, mainly because you feel like you can't. You feel like God doesn't care, or maybe he doesn't care anymore because you've done something to make you think you're not good enough. So I want to shift our attention to one of the weirdest and most freeing stories in the Bible that you can find in Genesis chapter 32. So in Genesis chapter 32, we jump into the middle of the story of Jacob. So Jacob is that guy you know as Esau's brother, right? He's the guy who stole the birthright from Esau. If you've read pretty much any part of the story of Jacob, then you can gather that Jacob is a mess. So he's selfish and he's sneaky. And if you've seen the Marvel movies, he reminds me a lot of Loki. And so Jacob finds himself in a whole lot of drama because he's brought it on himself from all of his bad decisions, which is ironic because he's kind of the face of God's people at this point in the story of God's people. So one night, as Jacob finds himself trying to get out of another one of his messes, Jacob is in one of the oddest and seemingly most random stories in Genesis. We find Jacob in an all-night wrestling match with some guy, some random guy, mystery guy. But apparently Jacob is quite the stud because this mystery guy can't seem to pin Jacob. And so what he does instead is he disables Jacob by touching him in the hip socket. And then the man adds, "Let me go, because we have been wrestling all night and it's about to be daybreak." No doubt this is a random story with a random mystery character, but Jacob seems to know that this is not just a normal fight, and so he refuses to let go of this man until he agrees to bless him. So this man agrees to bless Jacob by changing Jacob's name to Israel. And what Israel literally means is he who struggles with God. So Jacob's very name, and eventually the name of God's people as well, Israel, is a window into Jacob's relationship with God. Jacob and Israel's self-understanding is one of being locked into battle with God. They struggle with God, as can be seen all throughout Genesis and in the rest of the Old Testament. They are not a people who sees themselves as triumphant. They are a people who see themselves as struggling with their faith. This mystery man that Jacob has been wrestling is not a drunk redneck neighbor. This man that Jacob has been wrestling is God himself. And as a reminder of this epic showdown, Jacob hereafter walks with a limp because of his injury in this wrestling match with God. And like Jacob, Israel intends to hold on to God as well so that they also can be blessed. God's people are determined to stay in their struggle with God for as long as it takes. And Jacob's wrestling match with God is used to mature him to be what God intended him to be. Jacob has grown up in this struggle with God, and he's acted like a boy for the majority of his story, and yet for the first time in his story, he begins to act like a man from here on. The reason I tell you this random story is because there is a long-standing tradition of wrestling with God in the Jewish tradition. But Christians are often discouraged from wrestling with God. People like myself have grown up in a tradition where wrestling with God wasn't allowed, even though people like Jacob and Moses and David and even Jesus himself struggled with God. We were taught that fearing God kind of meant flinching whenever we were in the presence of God, because who knows when God's going to lose his temper and he's going to cause something bad to happen in our life and he's going to threaten us with throwing us in hell. But that's just not the God we encounter when we meet him face to face. The belief in Jacob's day was that just seeing God's face was enough to kill a person. And yet Jacob not only meets God face to face, he wrestles with God, and then he wins. And I think we hold this disbelief sometimes too. We think that if we take off our mask and we come face to face with God, he's going to see all the sin that we have, he's going to see how unsure we are about things, and he's just going to level us. But that's just not the God we find in Scripture. It's not the God that Jacob met and wrestled with, and it's not the God that the disciples met. It's not the Jesus that they talked to. We serve a God who wants to meet us face to face, and he wants to get to know the real us without the filters and without the fear. So I've talked a lot about what our relationship with God is not. I talked about who God is not. And so I want to wrap up by telling you who God is. You can pretty much pick any book in the Old Testament that you want, and they will use these characteristics in almost every single one of them to describe God. They will say that God is slow to anger. They will say that God is loving, merciful, forgiving, and full of grace. And then you fast forward to the New Testament, and we meet Jesus, we meet God in the flesh, face to face, and we find that Jesus displays all of these characteristics as well. And so, through Jesus, we find God inviting us into a real and intimate relationship that at one time we thought was fragile. But is sturdy and unbreakable. And so when we sin, we don't have to run away. We can go to God's feet and we can ask for forgiveness. And when we have questions and doubts, we can simply and sharply ask God what's going on. And when we feel like God isn't taking care of us like he promised, we can keep him accountable and we can come to him with our anger and our tears. And when our relationship gets rocky with God, we don't abandon it and run away. We run towards God and we wrestle through it together. Courage requires vulnerability. They're synonymous. To wrestle with God means to be vulnerable with God. If you haven't watched Brené Brown's Netflix special, I would encourage you to watch it because she talks a lot about this. To be courageous means to be vulnerable and genuine. So to wrestle with God, to be bold or courageous before God, means to be vulnerable and genuine towards God. And the reason that we want to have and can have this genuine and bold relationship with God is because our relationship is based on trust. When we say that we have faith, what that means is we have trust. And a relationship that is based on trust or is based on faith means not walking on eggshells, but talking openly and honestly with no hints of passive aggressiveness. Relationships that are fragile are dysfunctional. But relationships that are trusting are sturdy and healthy and genuine. Our faith moves us towards God even when evidence points us away from God. Because we have trust. I will always put my trust in my wife first, regardless of what's put in front of me. My faith in her will always exceed what I am seeing because I trust my wife. Our relationship is based on trust. And the same is true of our relationship with God. He often compares our relationship with him as marriage. And if you have experienced marriage, then you know that vulnerability and struggle are a part of the relationship. And so, like Jacob in Genesis, wrestling with God, it may leave you with a limp or a few scars. In fact, I can guarantee you that it will. You'll experience some growing pains because the walk of a courageous Christian, it has those things. But you will undoubtedly come out of your wrestling match wiser, more mature, and blessed because we wrestle with a God who invites us into boldness. We worship a God who doesn't need a filter because our God is not fragile and you do not have a fragile relationship with him. So I encourage you this week to put your trust in God's grace and love by accepting an invitation to come to him vulnerably and genuinely. Embrace the real relationship that God wants to have with you. Let's close together in prayer. Dear God, thank you so much for the love that you have for us, for the fact that you are slow to anger, you are merciful, you are forgiving, God, thank you so much for how much you love us and the type of relationship you have with us. You don't want a fake relationship where we have to hide things from you. God, you want to get to know the real us. You want to walk through life with us genuinely together. And so, God, I hope that you will make that apparent to us. I hope that the nature of our relationship becomes more and more natural to us so that we can experience a true and healthy and sturdy relationship that is built on trust. God, we love you, and I pray that you will bless our lives as we wrestle with you. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.